Accession number 28896, Reel 6.
Mr. Blewitt, Reel 6. You got your calling up papers in effect, and then you went to Scorton, I think you said.
Yeah.
Was this still the same RASC unit that you joined as a territorial?
Yeah, 923, yeah.
And what you basically said there, that you were still receiving your training, but
as you were going along.
But waiting for lorries, etc., to so you can drive.
There was I always remember there was the first real trip on a lorry. It was a big furniture van, and a lad called Laurie Best from Middlesbrough. They'd come from Middlesbrough, him and his brother, to join up as a service corps unit, because there wasn't one in Middlesbrough at the time. And we had a corporal, little Bert Simmons, who used to be a foreman at the mills. He was a night shift foreman at the mill, a Yorkshire chap, canny bloke. He was only out of sixpence a copper, and but for some reason he didn't drive, and I was just like learner driver. So we got with this lorry Best, and we went from Scorton to Stockton, and parked up at Stockton, just outside the cattle market. And we just waited and waited while they decided what bit we were going to, and we had to go to another place to pick troops up who were like a searchlight battery, and we had to take them to the searchlight. And so after we picked these up, and like I say, in a furniture van, all chucked in, we got to the searchlight place. And of course, by this time it was pitch black, and I'd just found out, well, just got introduced more or less to Laurie. I didn't know him from Adam previous to this, with him being from Middlesbrough. So we dumped all these lot, and we had to go somewhere else and pick some more up, take them to an anti-aircraft battery, all round about the Tees area, you know. And he just said, tired, he said, do you fancy a drive? I said, oh yeah, you know. And he said, wait a minute, can you drive? I said, no, but I'll have a go. Sit down, he said. And like there was three of us in the cab, and he said to Bert, what about you? I can't drive. Oh good, he said, Lonnie, well, keep talking to me, give me cigarettes, keep me awake. He said, me and Bert's like this in one corner, and he's driving. Poor Lonnie, I always kid him on about that when I used to see him. We got very good friends after that. That was our induction, and I get good friends. But we were travelling about, we must have been about a week, best part of a week, just going to play. And every time we stopped, he used to fall asleep. Just keep digging. Come on, Lonnie, time we'll go again. And we were going all over, and then when we... they said, oh, you're going back to camp. So we went back to Scorton camp, and all the tents were down. And they'd left a rear party to direct us to go to a place called Kirkbank Hall, which was just a farm, and a big house and a farm behind. And
whereabouts?
Middleton Tyres.
Before we come to that, just a few more memories of Scorton. Ultimately, you got your uniform in time.
Oh, yeah.
What exactly were you wearing? What was your uniform?
Service dress. You see a photo? You've seen? Oh, you've seen that.
Shirts
there,
and...
Shirts
and...
You got the issued with the long johns, and which I'd never worn in life, and promptly give away to my father. And then I found out you had to show them on when they come round for kit inspection. I had to get them back off him to that.
How about sizes? Did they actually measure you?
Oh, no. You should just look at you and say, try that on. Most of them were all right. Most of them were a good fit. I mean, we were all skinny at that time. I think I was about 9'6" or something, you know. So they had quite a lot like that. They never No, they never measured you up. They just looked, put it on. Yes, that's all right. Sometimes if you bring it into Darlington and get a
tailor
adjustment. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And haircuts were the initial delivery?
No, they never used to bother a lot about haircuts. I remember the first day I got pulled up about shaving. I'd never shaved. Just bum fluff, you know, and I'd never shaved. And I was on guard this night, on parade for guard, three of us. And Sergeant Major, he was orderly officer, and he'd come along. It was at Kirkbank and all this place. And have you shaved today, driver? I said, no, sir. I don't shave. I haven't started shaving. He said, you do from now on. In the morning, get to shave. And that was it. Like, that was my induction. But he used to get a haircut when he went into Darlington. That's about the same blow. There was an amusing thing when we went to Kirkbank. Like they say, the big house there, farmhouse at the back. And most of the company was in the house. We were the last ones in, so we got the stables. Yeah, there may be about 8 to 10 stables. And when we got in, of course, they'd had a fatigue party, cleaning them out in the straw, but there was still horse. You could still smell the horses and urine and whatnot, you know. So we had a palliass stuffed with straw. And that was it. It was your bed. Get down. 3 blankets. And the old waterproof cape thing, which it's coming for a lot of things like that. They used to put that down and put your palliass on. And we were in the stables for a couple of months, I would think.
How did you find at Scotland? How did you find living in tents?
I didn't mind it. We were all bell tents. We were all bell tents, old army, First World War.
Were you lying on the ground? Or?
I was on the ground. Some of them were lucky they got the wood. But we were on the ground with these palliasses. We went into the first thing they did when we got called up, we went down and they give you a palliass. And there's a tent. It was full of straw. So I was just putting so much in, about that much, and that was it. Next morning when I got up, it was flat back to the tent, puffing it up. So you were either on a one like this, packed tight. You sat on the top until you gradually bedded in.
How many men to a tent?
There'd be about 8 to 10. Totally plenty. About 8, I think. Toe to toe, you know.
And this would be what, getting on to the winter of 1939?
Yeah, yes.
So the September. It must have been particularly warm.
No, it wasn't warm at all. They took it out September. We were in maybe canvas, maybe about a month or so. And then we went up to Kirkbank.
And what about ablutions, being able to wash and keep yourself clean?
Rough and ready. Sometimes you got, you're supposed to take a turn at cleaning ablutions out and not like, but they're a bit rough and ready that like.
Was that just a tent again? Was it
just had a sheet along, a trench with, they had like a bench with holes in, and that was. That was the latrine. It used to just gradually get filled up in somebody. I think now and again they used to chuck a shovel full of tall lime in.
Smell a little bit with it.
Oh yeah, terrible. Terrible. So the horses, when we were in the stables, that was terrible and all. He used to, oh God, we're not going to stop in here, surely. But we were there for about a month. But we used to have the door open, the stable door open, it was always open.
The cooking arrangements and canteen at Scotland.
Yes, well, that was they had a big marquee for that. The cookhouse, stew and stuff like that.
I was going to ask you what you would get, say, for breakfast.
Yes, it was. If you got a good cook, he would do his best to improvise a bit with you, but most of them They weren't cordon bleu, shall we say.
And what were you being given as food?
Sorry?
What food were you getting?
Oh, we were all right being in the RSC and delivering. And I must admit, like when my father was there with Rob Old serving comrades, if you saw something that you fancied, like you try and put it on one side, so that when you're delivering the stuff to the company and they're signed for it, that was it. That you were the little bit that you'd... You used to get boxes of... like rations, supposed to be. All sorts. But when we started, we were just getting like sacks of potatoes and things like that, and you won't cook also too.
Did you get, for breakfast, did you get the bacon and eggs? And
oh, yes, we're getting, when we first started, yes. You'd get a lump of beef and, the cookhouse used to get a lump of beef, and I think it was one or two used to get cut off for home use, you know, but for the cookhouse. But used to get eggs and things like that.
And was it a cafeteria system? You have to line up and...
You got in the line and just, when they come along, and I'm slapping it on. The same as when you see them in the jail, slapping it on. And he had a aluminium bowl, was supposed to be for your tea, and you had your, what they call them, Dixies. The Dixies, one for your meat, or whatever, veg, and the other for your sweet, which was invariably rice pudding or something like that. Wasn't...
And you've been issued with knives, forks,
spoons? Oh, I got knives and forks and spoons. They never give us a cup. Never, and we used to have this big basin thing for tea. And I never had the sense, until weeks after, to get a tin mug from home, you know. After that, it was never away from your side, but at the first, these big mugs, I used to think, what the hell are giving us these for? I said, you'd say, well, you were holding it like this.
Plus, were they putting anything in the tea?
Supposed to. It didn't matter to us. Make you feel that you didn't lose your wife's affection. I forget what they used to call it. Something puts
bromide.
Bromide, that's it. They used to put it. Say, what the hell's in this? Get it down here, you know. Yeah, they used to do that. But I always remember there was a chap called, he was an orderly, just dishing it out, but he was like supposed to be a senior orderly, as you put it that way. And he used to slap it on him. One of the lads, he went in and he said, oh, he was dishing bacon out one morning under this under canvas, dishing bacon out, and this lad, what's this? And he said, what do you think it looks like? It's bacon. He said, well, look, there's only a bit there. And he said, oh, you want some more? He said, yes. And he scooped it and he put it on over this lad's head. There. And then he walked out, went in the office and demanded a stripe to keep him in order. And they give him one and all. A local acting unpaid corporal. A local corporal, but it's pure, I think they call it. And I wouldn't, it was something wrong with him. I shouldn't have been in the army at all. It was something limp a bit, you know.
What time did the day start? When you went to Scotland, what time did
it start? It'd be about 6:30, I think, something like that.
That was the first thing you did?
And then got up and went to the toilet, got washed.
Cold water?
Cold water, yeah.
Didn't have any hot?
Oh, no.
So you'd have to shave with cold water.
Yeah, that's why I didn't shave. I was a bit lucky. I wasn't dark, you know.
So you washed and then what?
And you went lined up for your breakfast.
Now, were you marched to breakfast?
No, I just lined in.
What about PE? PT? Did you do any of that?
Not to start with. No, we're too busy painting lorries and whatnot. Never did any PT at all.
And did you have any drills in the morning?
No. With being a service car company, they wanted you out on the lorries and get away. The thing was, if you didn't get on a lorry, you got jobs around the camp.
General duties.
General duty jobs. Cook house, cleaning up, picking paper up.
So you'd work all morning on these lorries, painting, whatever you want.
Whatever, yeah. More or less all day, until they got all done. And then after a bit, we got the proper lorries.
You know, I was going to ask you about what time would the army lorries start coming in. Were you still at Scotland?
No, we weren't at Scotland. Kirkbank. Kirkbank was our...
We'll come to that.
We left Scotland when the bad weather came. Be about October, I would think.
And then, so you were painting vehicles, as you say. It wasn't the best of training, for, as you say. You didn't get no training as driver. You just stuck in the situation.
Did you? No, you didn't. Yeah.
And what about... Did they never teach anything about the... Well, presumably they couldn't. About the lorries, the fitters work, or keeping them running, and maintenance, yeah?
Not really. Not with the accommodated ones. I think if they started doing that, half of them would have felt a bit. It was when we got the Bedfords, the QLs and the OYs, I remember that, the OYs. They were a nice wagon to drive.
So at Scotland, you were basically, as you say, painting and preparing these vehicles. What happened when that was completed then? How did they fill your time in after that? Were you drilling or...?
You didn't, to be honest, we didn't do a lot of drilling in the RASC, not in the first lot. You were either, you're supposed to be on maintenance, maybe get on. I remember once when we were at, this was at Kirkbank again, and we had to go on maintenance. And there was a chap got on, we were cleaning mud and what. Oh, there was a, where we were parked, it was in that 1940, the weather.
The winter.
Very bad. And it was all mud. And when he used to come in from a day out delivering, used to drive as far as you could, and then he used to be stuck. And so there was always two or three lorries on duty to pull you around, ready. And then eventually they put sleepers all over the place for the lorries to go on to sleepers. And that was at the worst time in the army when I was, oh God, let me get out of here, like, you know. But fortunately, the detachment of us went down to Louth in Lincolnshire.
And how long was this?
This was after we'd been about 6 months, I think, in Kirkbank.
Yeah, so we have quite a bit about Kirkbank yet to talk about, haven't we? Yeah. You've mentioned, we may as well go on to that now. So it's in Kirkbank that the army lorry started to arrive, and you got rid of the other ones.
Yeah.
Did that improve your training? Did they start getting organized?
Oh, yes.
Then?
As far as you got a task book, 16 tasks. I don't remember, you did one task every day, whatever it was. Breaks, checking out on things like that. And you had that to do. You were going out. But in theory, they were supposed to do this task on every lorry every day, whichever, you know. So you maybe find only half the lorries were going out, the other half were in the car park or parked up, and you used to have to do this daily task on them. And the NCOs in charge used to come round and check, supposed to. Half of them didn't know what they were checking anywhere, you know, like I say, this little bird. For some reason, he never drove, so he wouldn't know what to look for.
How then? Someone must have shown you how to do the task in the first
place. Oh, yes, the workshops. There was a little detachment at Kirkbank, but there was the main one was at North Allerton. And I think it was once a month, you had to take you a lorry. I'm saying this one. Taking my lorry, the lorry had to go in for a monthly inspection. That's when they used to, the fitters, you know, used to check up on everything, put their report into the sergeant major, and that's the time when you'd find that you hadn't been doing the tasks or what, and never doing them properly or whatnot.
But someone in your particular unit must have been Sure, I mean, you might know nothing about brakes.
No, someone would
have to show you what.
Well, all the
how do that task.
They didn't do so much with brakes as long as you didn't have to. The brake fluid was topped up and all that, things like that, minor thing.
Oiling and lubrication. And as a driver, you would have to do that. That would be your task.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time you went in, that was your first job. I mean, you got a lorry, check it out, the oil levels, sump, engine, radiator and things like that. You just have to check it out.
And that was a very severe winter.
Yes,
it was.
Yeah.
Did you have problems freezing up?
Well, when we went down to Louth, as I say, it was very... And we went down there, well, we were in a house, like a detached house, and we were dishing rations and stuff out to a hussar company. They had horses. You used to see them on a night, and I said, thank God I didn't get in the hussars. With lamps, you know, and the horses had to be fed, bed down and all, before the soldiers got their group, you know. That was in Louth, like I said, it was really flat, and the snow was heavy. It was really...
How did you protect against the vehicles freezing? In the depth of winter?
You didn't have any antifreeze. You used to empty the radiator and then fill it up next morning. That was what you did in theory. Supposed to. Some of them used to say, oh, leave it and it'll be all right, you know, cover them up. Some got caught out. But it wasn't until after Louth, anyway, that they started with the antifreeze light. I remember coming from Kirkbank and getting back again in a lorry, going to the garage at the corner of Blackwell and putting petrol in, and I had a job started. And when I looked, got underneath the bonnet, there was like a glass, the carburetor, it was like glass, and it was frozen. Take the top off, it was like frozen. So where, I don't know what sort of petrol had been getting in, but it was frozen.
So you got your petrol from civilian petrol stations?
At the time, there was no...
And was that signed for by yourself to show that you had got it so that he could claim his...
Well, no, we just had to keep it topped up. He didn't have to sign for anything.
No, he didn't.
That was another one or two fiddles that were going on there. People used to think you got petrol to give away, you know, but...
Must have been ration for the civilians.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was...
So Kirkbank was, in effect, as you've intimated, a supply depot over there.
Well,
and you picked up all the
it was of... where the lorries were, and then you went from there to Scorton, back to Scorton Mob Store, and pick your supplies up there, and then went ripping different places, North Allerton, round about, like, you know.
And presumably each unit had indented for its supply, which you picked up and took out to...
They used to get... In them days, you used to get loaves of bread and whatnot, and sugar, bags of sugar, and check them up to the companies that they were.
And you've said many of these were anti-aircraft searchlight.
No, most of them anti-aircraft searchlight companies.
Were they out in the wilds? You know.
Oh yeah, aye. Some of the places, you think, bloody hell. Talk about, I'm quite happy to go back to your stable, you know. But they were.
Was the area being subject to any German air activities?
Mostly around Middlesbrough, around that area. That was a hot spot for them.
What was it at Middlesbrough that would attract the Germans?
Well, ports, the ports, the shipping. Really. In fact, I was just having a look down the library the other day, and they took a bit of paste in the railway station, got that paste in one time. And I think they used it. At Hartlepool, of course, that was a big...
The ICI, isn't
it? ICI works, that's right. That was the big target.
And did you experience any of the air raids yourself?
Only one or two around Middlesbrough. We got, when we went the Lincoln shape was all right. I'm jumping ahead of it when we went down to Hull, yeah. Paul
it's,
Point.
It's Middlesbrough that we
but Middlesbrough, yeah. It was, like you said, the ICI was a big target. But we never, we didn't have to go and mop up after anybody.
At the hall that you moved to, Kirkbank was what? A company position, was it? For your particular company?
Yes, that was HQ. Yeah.
And you were with HQ company?
Yeah, well, we were all together there. But that was our HQ there, the officers and all.
Do you recall at this time the names of any of the officers?
I'd have to think about that. I'll have to try and have a think about that. I know one or two of them, I think, was these, maybe the fathers, Sunderland, the car industry blokes. I think
they're professional people in...
Professional, yeah, that's right, yeah. Never anybody that was up from the ranks, always somebody with money, I think. There was a chap, he was supposed to be one of the family of the sugar men. I forget what they call them.
Was that Tate and Lyle, was it?
One of them, something like that, you know.
And, but they were all sons of...
Oh, yes, they were all...
Well-to-do people.
All the well-to-do lot, yeah. There was no...
Did you get on well with them?
I very rarely saw them. Just when they used to come out and take parades, and if you were up for a misdemeanour in front of them. I was up for speeding once, and I got... 7 days CB and 3 days pay stopped, I think it was. And for driving a lorry that had no speedo in. And I was tootling along round North Allerton, and there was a company of red caps there, police. And this officer come flying by, and he was going like this, and I just nodded and I said something to my mate, and I didn't cause him to laugh. And the next minute, there's a sergeant major behind him, and he pulled me up. Found it funny, he said. I said, "Oh, just listen to what he said, name and all the rest of it." Like, he said, "You know, you're doing 45 mile an hour there." And I said, "No, I don't know what it was." I said, "Couldn't." So when I come up before the OC, and he said about it, doing 45 mile an hour, I said, "Oh, I don't know, I can't say I was or I wasn't." I said, "There's no speedo on that." That was one of the old trucks, like, you know. So I got away with that.